Blog Talk Radio.
On tonight's episode of Confession Session, I don't know what R. Kelly was thinking when he did his live interview, but breaking down on camera did not work for me. 16 indictments is what Jesse Smollett is looking at for the lies he told at age 36. And if you've seen the Boondocks, then you already know what Uncle Ruckus' cone-ass voice sound like anywhere, including the Breakfast Club. What's good, y'all? This is your host, Angel Vandrina.
And I'm your host, Yana Bello, and you're listening to the one and the only Confession Session.
Hey, yay, 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 yay. What up, Jenna?
How feel not
being in school, bruh?
You said what?
I said, how does it feel not being in school, bruh?
Oh, it feels awesome, amazing. Oh, well, like, totally freaked me out. I mean, right on. Like, so I am so happy that shit is a done dollar. I ain't got to worry about it no more.
Graduate, yes.
Yeah, and I'm 28 years old. I feel like we have not talked since, like, so we didn't do the show last week. So, yeah, I'm just, like, at this whole different space in a matter of, you know, 2 weeks. You know, I'm still ugly. I'm just older, you know, and got less shit to do but stressed even more, you know. But,
definitely not ugly, you know. Y'all. Jen is being dramatic. But I feel like that's what, I mean, people, they, you can be, like, you know, like, Jen, everybody knows Jen is my brother. You know, that's what happens with family, I feel like, in general, like, y'all love each other so much that, you know, you text here and there, but ultimately, like, we gonna talk, you know what I'm saying? Like, best friends, we don't have to talk every single day, not even every single week, but when we have those conversations, we talk for long periods of time, and it's always a good, positive vibe, you know what I'm saying? Every time I talk to Jen, we always have positive vibes, you know? And it's always really good, so we don't have to talk every day or every week, like, but that's what happens when you family. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it is with my sister as well. But anyways, John, how has everything been with you?
Everything has been everything. This week has been pretty chill for the most part. You know, I'm in therapy, so like my therapist, she just helped me realize it's like I think a lot of times I do like negative self talk, and like I'm not a pessimist, but it's just I don't know if I view it as being like realistic or whatever. But I bring like a automatic like negative approach sometimes when I see something instead of just looking at how I can make it like into a positive or, you know, not necessarily reacting as soon as I am in the process of being presented with the problem, you know. So I've just been trying to stay positive, and it's been helping. Like I feel like a lot of things that I have been doing lately, like how I've been moving, has been for the better of Jean. So,
good.
Yeah, I mean, this week has been pretty okay. Good, in all honesty. How's everything been going with you?
Everything's been good. This was a really nice weekend. It was a fantastic weekend, actually. Just relaxing. It's my last week before I actually start back school. So, tomorrow, actually, I start back on my MBA program. Not happy about it at all. No, I'm not happy at all about it. already going into this negatively, but I'm just ready to. I really enjoy my few months off. You know, a little over 6 months, and I had a blast. I really enjoyed that time off, hanging out with my family, raising my kids and stuff. But for like the next year and a half, almost, I'm gonna be in school, knocking it out. Well, I guess it's really not. Yeah, about a year and a half, yeah, because I graduate next year with my MBA program, you know. So we just see how all of that works out and how everything goes. And working out and everything has been good. We reached our two-month mark. I've been posting my results on our Instagram page, Jen and I's, but I do have a separate Instagram page. It's just Angelica Wright, Angelica, but with two L's. So if you guys want to look at those results, you can go ahead and request me as a friend and take a look at that. Lots of inches lost, but still at it 6 days a week, you know, for the most part. On the keto still, knocking shit out, enjoying myself. My little sister and her boyfriend, well, her fiance, excuse me, my mom and her husband came over today, and I was showing my sister how to make homemade bread, and I let her try some of my, you know, my donut bread, and then I also let her taste some of my homemade spaghetti, and she started dancing and doing a little bounce, so I knew it was good as hell, even though it was made with zucchini. And so I was just telling her, like, dude, you can eat like this every day, and, you know, it's low carb. You know, this is some good shit. So she was excited. She went right home and started cooking. So, and lastly, I don't know about y'all, but the time zone fucked me up today. I woke up this morning at like 10:30. I looked at my husband, ugliest look in the world on my face, like, it's 10:30? What the fuck? Like that. He's just like, your phone's ringing. My mom calling me like, I'm on my way to drop your kids off. I'm like, okay. And she ended up coming a couple hours later. But did the time zone mess you up because it was daylight saving?
It definitely did because I was out late anyway last night. But thank God I didn't have to work today. So, yeah, I was like driving home. Just running my mouth with my friends that's actually about to come over shortly. And I looked up. It was like 2. And then it went from like 2:30 to like 3:30. I'm like, oh, hell no. As I'm driving home. I'm like, Lord, thank God I ain't got to work in the morning.
That's funny. That's funny, y'all. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into those hot topics. But before we get into those hot topics, don't forget to check us out on Instagram, Blog Talk, YouTube, SoundCloud, Anchor, and, of course, this podcast, like I stated, from Blog Talk. Send those confessions at confessions2us@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe, and tag us in that drama. Jen, why don't you go ahead and hit them with that young confession question of the day after the app and the sparkle.
Absolutely. Confession question. Let's talk your best friend's new friend. Again, let's talk your best friend's new friend. Let's get to those confessionals with Angel Vardrina.
All right, y'all. Okay, guys. So according to news.wttw.com, a Cook County grand jury has returned 16 counts of disorderly conduct against Empire actor Jesse Smollett following an alleged hoax in which he's accused of paying two brothers to stage a racist anti-gay attack on himself. And we talked about this for, this has been all over the news for several weeks, but I'll just give you guys, you know, another discussion, you know, just a brief, you know, talk about what happened before. So a spokesman from Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox on Friday confirmed the additional charges, which were returned on Thursday. Smollett was previously charged with a single felony count of disorderly conduct last month, and Smollett, who's 36, initially reported to the Chicago police that he was having attacked in the early morning hours of January 29th by two men in Streeterville neighborhood. Early police statements indicated that the two suspects have yelled racial and homophobic slurs at Smollett before they hit him in the face and poured an unknown chemical substance on him and wrapped his neck with rope. Smollett's attorney, Mark Gregos, said that the indictment itself was expected, but he called the 16 new counts prosecutorial overkill. And he said this redundant and vindictive indictment is nothing more than a desperate attempt to make headlines in order to distract from the internal investigation launched to investigate the outrageous leaks of false information by the Chicago Police Department and the shameless and illegal invasion of Jesse Smollett's privacy and tampering with his medical records, which I'm not sure if you guys know, but I don't know how many. It was like, I don't want to lie, but it was in the double digits for people who were fired from the hospital because they had leaked Jesse Smollett's medical records. Or maybe because, I don't know, not because they leaked, but because they looked into his files and they, you know, checked those records when they had no rights to that. So, and I think I seen this article maybe about a week or two ago. Anyways, Gringos added that his client adamantly maintains his innocence, even if the law enforcement has robbed him of that. So, yeah, Jen, what are your thoughts on everything that's going on right now? Do you think that he deserved those indictments? Do you think that, you know, pretty much what I say, do you think this is just a way to get headlines and Just what are your overall thoughts, Jen Othello, Mosby Shan?
I think that ultimately I feel like this is like ultimate like shakedown, or they're like trying to come down hard on Justice Smollett because of the fact
that
he accused this whole situation of being, you know, white men, MAGA supporters, and we are in a really tense racial climate. We got to think about who overall a lot of white police officers are. They more than likely do support Trump. So, you know, it was just to prove a point. I feel like it's the reason why they're going all out. Like, the reason, you know, and it was funny because what they were saying on the Brilliant Idiots podcast is you have to think, like, if Chicago PD had all this, you know, technology to where they were able to track down through a camera who the two men were back while they were in Africa, to the point of it being like their flight and everything before even getting the cell phones, just follow their cell phones and solving like this, everything that went on. It just shows, you know, what they can do when it's for their benefit. You know, when we have all these unsolved murders of transgender women in Chicago, mm-hmm. and, you know, everything else is going on in Chicago, how bad the crime is, but you can track down, you know, kidnap or whatever situation when it has to do with a black man accusing white people, you know, so that's what I think it is.
Yeah, it's deep, and that's true, Joe. Yeah. That's very true. I agree 100%. I think that it's messed up that he, well, ultimately, like I said before, that he lied about this type of stuff, but it really does show you how dirty people are as far as, like, the police department. Like, y'all got all of this, you know, all this, you guys could have, you know, find out, like Jen just said, everything that's going on with anything else, but because this is the situation particularly, you guys want to go all out and get down to the bottom of it, just probably to say, hey, we figured this out, you know, it was us, give us this credit, give us this bonus, give this department that money, you know what I'm saying? So it's pathetic, and ultimately, you know, I don't know particularly what the 16 counts were, but I'm interested to see how all of this goes down moving forward, because it seems like this, we've been talking about this every single week, but, you know, we will obviously keep you guys updated and everything on everything that's going on with Jesse Smollett and his lies at age 36. I just can't get over the fact that he's 36 years old still. But anyways, Jean, moving on to the next topic.
Yes, ma'am. All right, y'all, next topic. The Boondocks character Uncle Ruckus said social media blaze when he was featured on The Breakfast Club in an interview praising Trump. If you're all not familiar with the cartoon character Uncle Ruckus, he is a caricature of the ultimate coon. He went on The Breakfast Club to show his love for Trump, you know, say he had re-vitiligo, which is like reversal of what Michael Jackson had. He gets darker every year, mm-hmm. but he's really a white man. He downs every, you know, black person in media and basically says how the white race is ultimately the best. And it was just so many crazy things that he said, but it ended up because a lot of people did not know who Uncle Ruckus was, so they were just like, who the fuck is this black man on? And it became like a trending topic. Who the fuck is a black man on The Breakfast Club talking all this fuel, all this nonsense? And it became like this huge deal. I think the video was like a million views, but people finally realized that, you know, it's just a cartoon character, and it was just, you know, them having a little fun on the show. But were you able to listen to the interview at all?
I was on my way to work, and I heard the beginning of it. And because I am a full fan of the Boondocks, I know Uncle Ruckus is one of the biggest coons that there are. So I thought it was funny as hell. I thought it was so funny. I didn't believe him, obviously, but I laughed. I was talking to my husband. I was like, "You hear Uncle Ruckus on the Breakfast Club sounding like a damn fool?" You know, I thought it was funny. But I only heard a portion of it. I didn't hear everything. Obviously, you know, it is not funny, you know, for all those people out there who have no clue who Uncle Ruckus is and the way he was talking and how he was saying, you know, Donald Trump is just the most amazing person that they ever, you know, I'm sure people, they was like, what the hell is going on? They got offended, but it was funny to me. What was your thoughts on it?
I thought it was hilarious, too. You know, I was just listening, like, I definitely didn't take it serious because I knew it was like a joke. I knew
yeah.
Uncle Ruckus was.
Yeah.
I did watch Boondock Show, but I definitely used to read the comic book strips, and I've heard about him through the years and have, like, seen clips and stuff, so I was familiar with the character. But, no, I thought it was hilarious, you know. Definitely, if it was, like, somebody serious, then, yeah, I was in pissed the fuck off, but I knew that it was all, like, jokes. So I was listening and was, like, dying laughing, like, when he was like, you right, he was like, because Charlamagne was like, goddamn Donald Trump, and he was like, you right. No, he was like, Donald goddamn Trump, and he was like, you right, Donald God. And he was like, Donald J. Trump stands for Jesus, and like all this shit. And then he was like, I speak to him every day, like he was Jesus. That shit had me so fucking weak. He was like, I speak to Donald Trump every day. Like, so I was just crying.
Everybody.
I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, I did too. If you guys haven't had an opportunity to check out that interview, check it out. Uncle Ruckus on The Breakfast Club. Watch the cartoon first. You know, just type in on YouTube Uncle Ruckus on the Boondocks and then listen to the interview. And you might have a giggle or two. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next topic. Okay, guys, so something a little bit more serious. According to USA Today, since news broke last week that a second HIV-positive patient was cured of the virus that causes AIDS, four people asked Dr. Ray Martin if they could have it, said that he would not recommend it. Doctors are hailing news of a potential breakthrough on the condition that has killed hundreds of thousands in the United States alone. But the operation is so horrible, and HIV, pretty much HIV now is manageable, that it could be a classic cause of the cure being worse than the disease. HIV was once known as a death sentence, as we all know. Hell, I still think it is. It has killed some 35 million people worldwide. But now, by taking one or two pills a day, most patients can suppress vital loads of the point that they can neither be detected nor passed on to others. This is still in an experimental stage. And it involves chemotherapy and a bone marrow transplant using the stem cells. It's painful, it's risky, and threatens harsh side effects that can last for years. It's so dangerous, Martin says. I wouldn't recommend it to those who is healthy with HIV. Stephen Deeks, a University of California San Francisco professor involved in the cure research, said that the procedure should be used only in cancer patients with HIV. This approach is just too dangerous for the treatment of HIV by itself, he said. The London man who was reported to be cured of HIV this week and the Berlin patient who was cured in 2007 both had cancer. A third man, Dusseldorf, Germany, has had a similar transplant and has been off the HIV medication for more than 3 months, Deeks said, but the doctors want more time before declaring him cured. Deeks also mentioned that more research is needed before the treatment can be made available to the broader population affected with HIV. But the big question is, how do we use this lesson learned from the cases to come up with something that is more safer in the future? And this is an area of an intense research. So, Jim, what are your thoughts on these individuals that are being cured of HIV? And then if something else come about, you know, where, you know, a bone marrow transplant is not needed or chemotherapy, how do you think this is going to affect the population in general?
I definitely feel like it's a good thing that they are able to find progress with something, you know, the fact that this is the second person to be cured. And then he did have AIDS, right? Or was it HIV that the man had?
It just stated that they were HIV positive.
HIV
so I don't
positive.
Think they had
okay.
AIDS. Yeah.
Yeah, but that is scary that it's just like, it's like only, to me it seems like if it's dire needs is to where they use like that process, you know, to reverse it. There isn't anything that could be you know, stopped initially. If you do realize that you are positive while you're still healthy, you know, so you can make the changes to, you know, have a better diet and stuff like that. But
I don't know.
I mean,
I just think that it's gonna be crazy.
Finding something, but yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, no, I agree.
I don't think it is crazy. I think it's gonna be crazy if they find a cure for HIV that does not, you know, it does not revolve around having chemotherapy. Because like they said, the people who were treated both had cancer and HIV. That's why they went ahead and did this procedure on these individuals. However, and a third man is on his way to being cured. However, if those traits was necessary, I feel like, you know, and they were able to find a cure, obviously it's going to be expensive, but I feel like a lot of people, they won't learn their lesson. If HIV is curable, you know, and it doesn't result, you know, a surgery is not called for, people are just going to be fucking around, still sleeping around with people without condoms. And then they're just going to have to go ahead and find a damn cure for gonorrhea, not gonorrhea, but what is that shit? Herpes. And once they get that cure, then, I mean, I feel like everybody's going to be set. You know, if you can find a cure for all of these things, including cancer, then people, they really don't need to be cautious, right? I mean, is there really a need to be cautious? I mean, these are just women,
I mean,
you know, because you can still get pregnant.
Like, I feel like if people were to, just because there's a cure for HIV.
I mean,
you
can
know,
say that, but, I mean, there's a cure for gonorrhea and chlamydia, and people, they still do it.
Cure for herpes yet, and even if there was a cure for all the shit that we know of, we saw how what HIV did came out of nowhere and how it affected people. So I think it would be just dumb for people to not use protection in you know, if they are having regular sexual relationships with multiple partners and they know their partner is doing the same, or suspecting their partner is doing the same. I just feel like it just doesn't make sense just because there's a cure for HIV that people will want to stop using. You know, because to me, it's just like crack. Even though we do see with this generation,
crack,
you know, it's become more of like a drug culture, but it's just like you see what drugs have done to past generations. Why would you want to be the first person to want to try and be the, you know, the test animal, what is it, you know, to be the damn monkey with the lipstick on? Like, why the fuck would you want to try this shit if you know that potentially there could be something else that's catastrophic to our generation? I just don't.
And that's scary
person.
To that's me, too.
That's why I, you know, I've always was a person that believed in safe sex. I, you know, I had my little face, but I was never, like, reckless. I was never, like, reckless, you know. I've never been into drugs. It's just certain shit. I'd rather learn that from other people than, you know, me figuring it out on my own later on in life, so.
Mm-hmm. And that's, Jen, you make an interesting point. I feel like it will be not interesting but scary because, you know, once they find a cure for all of this, we don't know what the hell's going to happen next. Next thing you know, you know, there's going to be a disease that is going to come about just like all these other diseases have came about. And they're going to have to, you know, spend, you know, a whole our lifetime trying to find a cure for this new disease that has came about because people are sleeping with multiple partners. They got HIV and all of this other stuff that's curable. But now they have this other item that's not, that we don't know anything about. They're, you know, doing all these tests and stuff like that. And now we have a whole entire new disease that, you know, is going to take our kids' lifetime for them to figure out how they can, you know, get that cure for. And I feel like that will be based on, once again, a bunch of people experimenting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, that's how a lot of diseases, they come about. When people experiment and it's like, oh, what the hell is this itch? You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, well, this is what's going on. You know, so I feel like it's interesting they don't care, but they do in a sense. But yeah, it would be an interesting turnout to see how people they move if HIV, they find a full cure for HIV and all of the other diseases, STDs out there.
I mean, I feel like there are going to be people that are going to start being more free. But I feel like those people are already trying it before. They're really just not going to be giving a fuck. But I don't think somebody like who I am and, you know, what I've always believed in, who always was stickler for protection, using protection, stuff like that, I don't think people like me are just going to go out just because it's a cure for everything out here in the world now and just start having unprotected sex. Like, I don't want to ever, even though I know there's a cure for gonorrhea and chlamydia, I don't never want to have a burning penis. I don't never want to realize that sensation. You know, even though I know it's not going to be something that's going to happen my whole life, that's just not something that I'm down with experimenting or experiencing, you know. So,
No, well, no, you know, no. Nigga, if it ever happens, you can just start screaming, the roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. No, I'm just playing.
Oh, no.
All right, y'all, we're going to go ahead and move on to our final topic of the evening.
All right, y'all, final topic. You know how it's
hey, right. So y'all know what Jen is doing right now.
Trying to find my article. But you guys, this is according to CBSNews.com. Robert Kelly, simply known as R. Kelly, to millions of music fans, had a global audience and won 3 Grammy Awards and sold some of 75 million records. But now he is a man reflecting a reckoning at the heart of the times we live in. He is famous for the music he has given us, and he is infamous for allegations he sexually abused women for over 2 decades. Kelly vehemently denies those allegations, however. The exclusive, explosive interview CBS This Morning co-host Gail King had with him this week is part of a larger conversation America is right in the middle of. It has to do with violence, privilege, and the rights of women. It has to do with the behavior of public figures. You may have already seen some of King's interview with R. Kelly, but if you haven't seen it all, King met with Kelly in a high-rise in Chicago just 8 short miles and a world away from the Cook County Jail, where he ended up days later. After someone paid his bail on Saturday, R. Kelly was released from jail for the second time in 2 weeks. The issue was failure to pay child support. Kelly owed his ex-wife, Andrea Kelly, more than $161,000 for their 3 children. It's the latest in his mounting legal troubles. R. Kelly, Kelly was indicted before a Cook County grand jury on 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse involving 4 victims. Prosecutors in Chicago say 3 of Kelly's victims were underage girls and that Kelly abused them over a span of about a dozen years. As disturbing as these allegations are, they are not the only ones. There's also accusations that Kelly has beaten, starved, and held other women against their will at a so-called sex cult. When King spoke to him earlier this week, it was clear the pressure was getting to him. Believe me, man, this is not me. They're lying on me. They're lying on me. I'm cool, bro. That's in their stream. Gail King said, I'm cool. I'm good. I'm not afraid because I'm telling the truth. I'm not afraid because I'm telling the truth. He said, covering his face with his hands. The truth, according to Kelly, is that he's never abused women sexually or physically or held anyone captive. And he adamantly denies that he preyed on underage girls. Were you able to watch any of the interview, Ms. Angel Mondrina?
Okay, so you know like how when you hear something and you know somebody lying, you just be looking like, okay, like, you know, you make that face. So when I was hearing you talk about R. Kelly and the things that he was saying, I was just thinking, all right, liar, you know, okay. I did see some of the interview. I'm just curious, like, why did you start crying? What the fuck you crying for? You done beat motherfuckers, rape motherfuckers, you know, hey, sexual underage girls proof.
Right.
The video shows married Aaliyah. When she was just a kid, he was a whole grown-ass man, and you want to sit your fat ass down and lie and cry. Like, I don't want to hear it. Okay, you are getting everything you deserve, you know, like, and then I did see he was talking about before he had to pay the child support that he had $350,000 left in his bank account and, you know, people were stealing money from him. Well, you know, if you steal, you kill. If you kill, you rape. You know, and the list goes on and on. So you done raped and And technically, it really is, even if they were willing participants because they were underage, you know, you did all of this shit, and you want to sit up there and cry and want people to feel bad for you, but nobody feels bad. That's why it's so many memes out here, you know, making right. jokes and shit of everything that's going on. When have you seen any of those memes? I was looking at them. I was like, oh, you look so crazy. Well, you need to get back on social media. But you need, I actually just actually reactivated my social media page. I was getting distracted as hell. And I had to, you know, figure out some shit with work and school and all of this stuff. But yeah, nigga, I understand. But you need to get back on social media and stop bullshit. But yes, I feel like R. Kelly, he plays games. And like I said, I did see some of that interview with him and Gayle and how he was talking and how he was talking about how innocent he was. And I was just thinking, you, Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, I mean, it's all the black folks, you know, Harvey Weinstein, all of y'all. Y'all are just nasty. Y'all are some nasty motherfuckers. But also, I am curious as to why they're going in debt with all of these people and what's going on with the white folks that's been raping motherfuckers and doing all of this shit. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to change the subject. I'm not trying to, you know, say R. Kelly is innocent or anything like that, because he's 100 trillion% guilty. But I'm just curious as to why only one, why only, it seems like it's just these individuals, like, you know, who are getting, like the black folks are getting handled, and they're getting these videos made about them and all of this shit. I want to see what the fuck happened with Harvey Weinstein as well. But ultimately, R. Kelly is nasty, and he needs to go to jail. And I don't know how the hell he keep getting out of jail. But lock his black ass up and throw away the key. And, you know, what you do to other people is going to happen to you. So, you know, hopefully there's no, you know, Big Daddy Yankee in the jail, you know, waiting to bust that ass open. That's all I got to say. What's your
Not
thoughts,
bust
Jay?
The ass open.
But
I think the reason why Harvey Weinstein, isn't Harvey Weinstein in prison now, or isn't he in jail now? I don't think he's just walking around scot free.
I don't.
Is
he?
Like,
that's not like something I need to look up.
Yeah,
that's not like something I need to look up, Jay.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he's in jail. I don't think he's just out just chilling, you know. but I think it's just because these were two like huge public figures, and a lot of people were denying, so they just had to come to the point where, like, look, we just about to show y'all a documentary with all the facts, this is what it is. Now, as far as with, I saw some of Leaving Neverland, I didn't watch the whole thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If Michael Jackson, I do feel like he has touched those children, you know, and we shouldn't support him. But then part of me also feels like if these were the same children that at one point were lying and saying that they weren't being touched on, you know, like, to me, it just seems like it's just monetary gain. And I don't want to sound ignorant, but it's just like Kelly's story and
Michael Jackson's story
is totally different. You know, I feel like the premise is the same. They're both,
you know,
we're going to
talk about Michael Jackson and Shirley. We're going to talk about Michael Jackson Shirley. I want to hear about what your thoughts are on Robert. See, I don't even like his ass. I'm calling his ass Robert now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nah,
what's
Robert,
up, Robert?
what are my thoughts on Mr. Robert Kelly? Child, fuck him. Like I've been saying, you know, it's about time. I do hope that he goes under the jail, you know. And he's done in my eyes. I mean, there's nothing else to be said. I thought that he was very dramatic. And Gayle was looking at him like, nigga, you better not try it. Like, she didn't move. She wasn't nervous. She was just like, Robert, like, sit your black ass down. Stop playing with me if I cut you out.
Right.
Like,
right.
She was looking at him like, Robert. Like, she was not stunned all that screaming and hollering to her. Like, like, for real, you see how calm she was? That shit had me so weak. She was just like, Robert, like, all right now. Like, cut it out.
Trey had to get mama on his ass. Trey had to do
right.
Mama. Okay. So real quick, Jen, I did watch the, I think maybe the full part one and then partially part two of Michael Jackson Neverland, and that shit actually really did disturb me. I just feel so horrible. Like, I felt bad. I cried a couple of times. I sat in just my living room, sent my oldest son upstairs because they were extremely vulgar in that show, and I just sat there and cried. I was so upset. I believe it. I 100% believe that shit. And the reason why I believe it is just listening to they. I feel like there was certain proofs that was provided, like even with Michael Jackson, him talking to sending the video, like, "Oh, little one, I miss you. I love you, little one." Like all the proof that they had for the faxes that went through, and how he was talking and sending the faxes to the little boy.
What? You said they were sitting in the room doing what? Did you believe because they were sitting in the room and what happened?
No. I said because of the fax. You know, that he had bought them a fax machine, and he was sending faxes back and forth to the family. And then also because he had sent a video to the family for the little boy, the 7-year-old boy's birthday, talking about, you know, how he loved him and missed him. And you actually see Michael Jackson talking to him like, little one, I miss you, but since your parents say birth you into this world, you know, you should spend time with them. And it was just weird as fuck. And then afterwards, there was just Michael Jackson hanging out at, like, the family's house all of this time. That shit, like, nigga, you live in a castle. Why are you in this itty-bitty? I mean, to me, it's probably, you know, it's huge. It's a nice home. But why are you hanging out in this fucking regular-ass house when you are, you know, a trillionaire in his big ass castle? Why are you sitting on the phone for 6 hours with a little boy? Like, you a grown ass man talking to a little boy for 6 hours at a time. That's weird. And why? And then the parents are getting me fucked up too. Why are you allowing your son to sleep in the same room as Michael Jackson, a couple of doors away from you? What the fuck are you doing? I don't understand. I understand she probably was blinded by the money that was coming in, but that shit's stupid, you know? And I was just really pissed off that these parents, I feel like they allowed this type of shit to happen. Because even when Michael Jackson was like, can I take your son for a year? She said no, but I'm thinking, bitch, that's not weird. Why would you want to take my son for a year? My whole entire son for 1 year? My 7-year-old baby for a whole year? You know, that's crazy to me. You know, and then me listening to what the kids were saying, you know, how Michael Jackson would be in the corner crying and how he would lick their asshole and all of that shit, man. That shit had me fucked up. My stomach, you should have listened to it. My stomach was tossing and turning, and I just was crying because I really felt like I seen in those, when they was talking, I seen them, like, actually reliving that moment. You know, and Jen and I, we talked about it many times before. We both are rape victims, you know. And when we tell our stories, you can kind of see the truth in our face. And I've seen that them boys were telling the truth, you know what I'm saying? And it just really fucked me up. And I just really feel bad about everything that happened. I'm really upset, too, in the sense that they did not come out and tell their parents. But once again, I was around that age when I was molested. You know, and I tried to tell my mom, but there's only so much trying you can do. You know what I'm saying? You cannot really go in, and you really don't know how to express yourself or talk to a parent about something like that when you think that what's going on, it may be okay, and that's what they were talking about. So it just really messed me up, and that's why I'm, like, super cautious with my kids, especially I have 3 sons. I can't even imagine having a daughter. Hell, I don't even want to have no more kids because I'm scared I will have a daughter. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be that type of parent that's knocking motherfuckers over their head over something I think may have happened. So I just think that's overall messed up. And I just really wish the parents were more observant and paying attention to this type of stuff, you know. But this was, you know, a different time period. And people, they really admire Michael Jackson and everything that he did, you know, for what they thought was for the good cause. But that nigga was a fucking weirdo. Ultimately, he was crazy. And Jen, if you have an opportunity to watch the documentary, you know, you should. You might be irritated and disgusted and stuff like that. It's crazy, but yeah, you should watch it. Neverland, you guys have an opportunity to watch it because we went on a whole other topic. Do so, and just make sure y'all keep your kids safe and out of those predators. And predators are really the people who you never expect them to be, you know, so be careful. Other than that, though, we are going to go ahead and end our topics for the evening and start talking about our fun confession question of the day, you guys. Okay, so our confession question of the day. How do you guys feel about your, what is it, your best friends or your friends' new friends? Okay, let's talk best friends, new friends. Okay, so Jean, your best friend, you know, me, come up to you and I tell you, hey, Jean, you know, I got this girl, you know, or I got this guy. I want you to, you know, kick the bobo, be nice. Be nice because they're my new best friend. No, I'm just kidding. But be nice, be cordial. How do you feel about that? Like, is that something you like, nigga, what? Or is you like, I'm going to try,
now,
bitch.
Honestly,
or are you going to be
like, I don't care. Like, and I feel like if that's really like your friend, like, you know, always have like a relationship with that person that's like separate, you know, and y'all have like your own understanding. And that's not your man, that's not your woman, that can't call, tell you who you can be around. You know, now if it seems like something bad in that person, yeah, pointing out. But as far as anything other than that, you know, you just being jealous. I feel like, why? You know, if anything, I like being friends with like my friends, my close friends' friends. So a lot of times it's like you get like a different side of the person that, you know, because you are like you kind of close with your friends. Like some of my friends, like, you know, like you, you're more family oriented, so we just always do. And then you have like your friends that you like to go out and have drinks with. Then you have your friends that, you know, you like to travel with. You know, it's just, or you have your friends that you like to, you know, come to the house and y'all just wine and, you know, have girl talk or whatever. So it's just, you know, I think it's always cool to see like different sides of your friends. So there's always something more that you can learn about a different person. I mean, about your friends through the people that they are with. So I feel like if there is any like animosity or y'all not like hating on each other in any way, it's always dope to be around. Like, you know, like for instance, like my best friend Brandon, like I love her friends. Like they're just so cool. You know, like, you know, her friends in DC, like they're so cool. They're so chill, you know, like, you know. And I feel like, but the relationship that I have with her is just like, it's so different because I, you know, we're from totally different states, you know, more so like not a small town, but you know, just, we go, just don't move as fast as DC. So it's just a lot of things, you know, she and her, I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. Like they do this and, you know, so that's how I feel about it. What about you?
Yeah. Well, there have been a long time where I'm like, yo friend, I don't want to meet your motherfucking friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be the only friend. You know what I'm saying? But as I got older, I realized that it is really nice to meet more people because they can give you, I don't know. I don't really know what the word is I'm trying to say, but they can give you different things, different sides of, like, even bring out a different side of yourself that you never even thought that you could be, you know. As you get older, you realize you start to be more, you know, outspoken and stuff like that. Like, it's a chick at my job. And, like, you know, we're coworkers or whatever like that. We're not really, like, good friends. But she's a funny person. Like, she'll FaceTime me randomly. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why is she FaceTiming me? You know what I'm saying? I answer, like, hi, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Then she'd be asking questions and need some help or some shit like that. You know? And I'd be like, you know, and before, I really don't have many people that's FaceTiming me and shit like that, you know. So I was like, damn, man, like, this is bringing a new side of me out. Or, like, she'll say something, like, about her daughter. Like, oh, like, my daughter, she always want to cuddle up on me. And, you know, usually, like, I'd be like, oh, like, you know, we'll let your daughter cuddle up. And she felt some type of way about it. She's like, ugh, I want her cuddling all up on me. And instead of me being like, look, girl, you know, that's your daughter. I was like, okay, but you want your man to cuddle all up on you, though. You know what I'm saying? Just cracking jokes just to see how she reacts to it. She just laughed. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I also have, like, my girlfriends who are, like, you know, I enjoy going out with, kicking it with, have those friends who I could talk to about anything, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, have, like you said, family, people who are more like family, too, you know what I'm saying, who you enjoy, like, traveling with and shit like that. So I definitely think that it's good to have a large surrounding of people in your circle, you know what I'm saying? Like, even my mentor, you know my mentor, Damien. she just hit me and I don't know, like 50 other people up the other day, and she was talking about something that me and my husband are really passionate about, cancer, and her auntie died from cancer. I remember I was at work when she working at that job that, you know, it was a long time ago. It was like 8 years ago, and she was crying at the job talking about her auntie died, and then also her mom died last year from cancer as well. You know, she did a walk, you know what I'm saying, for cancer. And anytime, you know, me, I'm just like, you know, people asking for money and shit like that. I'm like, money? Money? You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got no money, you know what I'm saying? But because I really believed in it, you know, she was asking everybody to donate $10. And I was like, you know, I'm gonna do something else, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna do a little bit more than that. So I was really happy that I was able to help them out and what their foundation was representing and stuff like that. So I just honestly feel like it's really good. And she's helped me out so much in the past. Like, I can't even tell you the type of shit she did for my life in general. You know what I'm saying? So it's really good to have a big circle of people, the people that you're really close with, the people that you call your family, and then those outsider people that you meet every so often. You don't kick it with them all the time, but you know what I'm saying? They're like, okay, well, like, you know what I'm saying, this is a good person to have a conversation with. I know, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be, blue, blue, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I don't think as I got older I would have an issue. Like, I know I'm coming to your Christmas party in December or whatever this year, and I know you're going to have a whole lot of best friends that I'm going to have to meet and shit like that. Oh, everybody, this is my sister Angelica. Angelica, this is my best friend. 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 Because Jen has a trillion best friends, everybody. And
I
think it's
going to
be a good time.
I have like six, but they really are like my best friends. Yeah. But yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, I wouldn't be like, your best friend. Motherfucker, I thought I was, you know what I'm saying? I just be like, what the fuck? Like, that's crazy. I would just be like, okay, I'm very talkative and I talk a whole lot. So, you know, I just be like, okay, well, hey. And I honestly, I get a vibe off of people based off of how they act. So if I see somebody acting shady or something like that, I would be like, Jen, I don't know if I like this person because they being weird. You want to do something, make they ass talk, get them drunk or something because I don't like this. You know what I'm saying? Or if they seem cool, then you know I'm going to vibe no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm the type of person that brings, I talk a lot. I bring out the life at a party, I feel like, personally. So, ultimately, let's talk to you to have multiple friends. You know, and all my people that I know, all my friends that I know, they all have, you know, a lot of good friends that they can talk to, you know what I'm saying, go out with and hang out with. And they all met through different situations and stuff like that. But everybody should have friends. And they don't have to be your best friend, but you know, everybody should have a certain amount of friends that they can hang out with, talk to for different scenarios, pretty much, you know?
Right.
And with that being
said,
you guys, then I don't really have anything to confess my love for tonight, Jim, but do you?
I don't today. I guess just being off, I'm happy I'm off. Yeah. Yeah, getting to relax.
What is up? What are you doing? You say you grilling right now? What's going on there?
Well, Chris is gonna be grilling. Well, yeah, we're setting up for that, yeah. And couple of my best friends about to come over, you know. Yeah. Actually, like, yeah, three of the six, are about to come over, so
Well, I hope you have a good time, Jen. I hope you have a great evening. I hope you don't get too drunk, but get drunk enough where you get freaky tonight. All right. Okay. All right.
Probably.
All right, y'all. We're going to go ahead. Probably, nigga. Absolutely. Okay?
Right.
All right, you guys. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to us this evening. You all can expect to hear from us on Sundays at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern, and we want to hear from you. So don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. Tag us in the drama. And send us those confessions at confessions2us@gmail.com. Thank you so much. This is your host, Angel Vandrina.
And I'm your host, Jen Othello. You're listening to the one and the only
Confessions.
Good night, babe.
Hey. Good night, ugly.